The prophets of Isaiah chapter 49, I want to draw your attention to familiar verses, verses 15, the final verses we read, 15 and 16. And yet the Lord asked, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Sin entering into the camp of the children of Israel, the dark clouds began to gather. Judgment falling upon her, her cities were ransacked, and her sons and daughters were carried away captive, being brought down into the city of Babylon. Their bondage, to say the least, was difficult. Their days of captivity turning into months, and the months turning into years, and the years turning into decades, they began to lose all hope. And beholding their despair, the Lord gave to them great and wonderful promises. Breaking the chains of their captivity, he said that he would bring them forth out of Babylon. Although obstacles would rise up in their path as great mountains blocking their way, he said in verse 11 that he would make a way through them. More than that, he said in verse 9 that he would feed them not only in the valleys, but also in the high places which were normally dry and barren. More than that, he would protect them from the scorching rays of the burning sun. And however, instead of rejoicing in these promises, they began to complain not to God, but rather they began to complain about God. Lifting up their voices, they said in verse 14, the Lord hath forsaken me. And as if that was not bad enough, they went on to say that he hath forgotten me. And instead of admitting that it was they who had forsaken and forgotten the Lord, they accused the Lord of forsaking and forgetting them. And tragically, in dark times, we also sometimes, instead of complaining to God, we begin to complain about God. Looking upwards rather than inwards, we blame God for all that has gone wrong in our lives. Indeed, Naomi disobeying the Lord, we find her in the book of Ruth going down into the land of Moab. And while her name means pleasantness, yet she losing her husband and then losing both of her sons, she said in Ruth 1, verse 20, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And seeing her barrenness, instead of looking within, she looked without. More than that, she looked upward and she began to blame God for all that had gone wrong in her life. She failed to realize that it was not the Lord that had forsaken her, but rather it was her who had forsaken the Lord. And in dark times when you feel my forsaken and forgotten, when you think everything seems to be going wrong, rather than lifting your finger and pointing it upwards, my, we need to take our finger and we need to point it inwards. My, the fault never lies with God. The fault lies normally with us. My, we have failed him. And because of our failure, we have gone into desolate paths. We have lost the hand of God, blessing even in our lives. And when everything seems to go wrong and everything seems to go dark, there needs to be that searching of our hearts. And yet, despite their accusations, we find the Lord here assuring them of his love. And so for a few moments tonight, I want to consider his love. You notice firstly here that it is a perpetual love. In verse 15, he asked them a very important question. He asked, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? At first glance, that seems to be an impossibility. How could a mother ever forget her sucking child? And yet the pages of history are littered with mothers who forgot their children. In Leviticus chapter 26, the Lord predicted concerning his people, ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters ye shall eat. In the days of Elisha, Ben-Hadad beseeching Samaria, there was a great famine within it. And feeling the pains of hunger, my one mother approaching another mother, she said, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. But when mothers on occasions may neglect their children and forget their children, he said in verse 15, yet will I not forget thee. As if to emphasize this, he in the following verse said that he would engrave their names upon the palms of his hand. Of course, if you want to remember something, what do? Well, you take your pen and you write it on the palm of my hand. Every time you open your hand, every time you stretch out your hand, you see and you are reminded of the writing. In other words, he was indicating here that unlike the occasional mother who deserts her child, forgets her child, he would never in any circumstances forget them. They would always be upon his mind. And while we may at times be out of the minds of our friends, we're never out of the mind of our Heavenly Father. He never forgets us. He never forsakes us. Indeed, speaking to his people of the land that he was going to give them, the Lord said in Deuteronomy 11, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Not only was his eye perpetually upon them, seeing their need, but he promised that he would also send the former and the latter rains. His eye, in other words, would not only be upon them in the seed time and in the harvest time, but in all the months in between. You see, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, and from the setting of the sun to the rising of the sun, the Lord's mind is upon us. He never on any occasion ceases to think upon us. You know, a city fellow one day thought he would go out into the country. And going out into the country, he watched a farmer whistle. And the minute he whistled, the dog ran out into the field. And the dog rounded up all the sheep. And the dog drove them into the pen. And as if that was not enough, the dog then went up, lifted his paw, and pushed the gate fast shut. The city fellow was amazed, and he said, whoa, that's some dog. What's his name? The forgetful farmer thought for a moment, and then he asked him, what do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem? The city fellow thought for a moment, and he said, a rose. The farmer then turned to his wife and asked, hey, Rose, what do you call that dog? You see, in life, we may forget. And we may forget people, and we may forget events, and we may forget things, and we may forget burdens. But the Lord never forgets us. We are always, in every moment, upon his mind. Henry Varley was a lay preacher from London. It was he who said to D.L. Moody that the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. Varley attending the World Fair in Chicago, he meeting Major Whittle and expressing how much he had enjoyed his great hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. Whittle some time later took up his pen and he wrote another hymn. And when he wrote the hymn, he sent the hymn to Varley and he urged Varley to go and to publish it. The fourth verse of the hymn reads, never a heartache and never a groan, never a teardrop and never a moan. Never a danger, but there in the throne, moment by moment, he thinks of his own. And while there may be many moments in our lives when God is out of our mind, there is never a moment when we, his people, are out of his mind. Do just as the mother, my, the good mother, my, is constantly thinking about her child. Where is he? What's he doing? How is he doing? So we are constantly upon the mind of the Lord. And believer, in those dark moments, those desolate moments, in those times when you think you're forgotten and you think no one is thinking about you and you think no one cares for you, remember, he has not forgotten you. My, a mother may forget her child in very extreme circumstances. A mother can do that. But he said, I will never, 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 never forget you. Doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter if the world's turned upside down. I will never forget you. Not only is it a perpetual love, it is a protecting love. The Lord asking, could a mother forget her child? He then answering his own question. He said in verse 15, yet will I not forget thee. The true mother loving her child, she not only sees every danger, but she immediately puts herself between the child and that danger. Two women one day coming before Solomon, both claiming to be the mother of the same child. Solomon gave the order for the child to be cut in two. The true mother, rather than see her child slain, she was willing to give up her claim upon him. Loving him, she was prepared to sacrifice everything in order to protect him from the sword. Reinforcing this thought, the Lord reminds them here in verse 16 that they were engraved upon the palms of his hands. Of course, the palm of the hand is not only the tenderest part of the hand, but when the hand is closed, the palm, it is shut in. In other words, he was indicating here that loving them, he would shut them in. He would protect them. As a mother shields her child, so he would in every circumstance shield them. Christ is not just our Savior. He's our shield. He stands between us and every enemy. Indeed, reassuring his people, the Lord said in Zechariah 2, verse 5, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. He was here referring to that day when she would outgrow the boundaries of the walls that had been built by Nehemiah and Ezra. Multitudes of men and women and cattle pouring over her ramparts. They becoming an easy prey. The Lord said that he would then become as a wall of fire around them. And I tell you tonight, a wall of fire is far, far better than a wall of stone or even a wall of steel. It cannot be scaled. It cannot be broken through. More than that, it consumes those who try to break through it. Sovereign love is sheltering love. It surrounds us with hedges that cannot be pierced and walls that cannot be scaled. You know, these wives were often affectionately referred to as the guarded jewel. And as a good husband guards his wife, as a good mother guards her child, so the Lord is our guard. The Lord shields it. Just as a mother will put herself between her child and that danger, so the Lord puts himself between us in every danger. He shields us. He's there in every moment. He's there to protect us. Just as my Daniel being thrown into the den, he was there to shut the mouth of the lions. The Lord is our guard. As a mother protects her child, so the Lord, even in a greater way, protects his children. More than that, it is a precious love. Look at verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her will? Yea, they may forget yet will I not forget thee. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, his two sons, his father and mother were arrested, and they were placed in a concentration camp. The rules were very simple. As long as you could work, you were permitted to live. But the moment you became too weak to work, then you were exterminated. Rosenberg watched his father and his mother walking to the execution chamber. And immediately he began to worry about his younger son, David, because David had a very weak and sickly constitution. Every night when he would come back from work, he would walk through that concentration camp and he would search for his family. When he would find them, they would go into a little corner and they would huddle there together and they would spend time of fellowship. One day coming back from work, he entering into the camp, he could see no familiar faces. He finally discovered his eldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping and praying. And seeing his son, he said, "Josh, tell me, it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work. And so they came for him." Immediately asking where his mother was, "My," he said, "oh Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried." And Mummy said, "There's nothing to be afraid of, David." And she took him by the hand and she went with him. There's nothing that a mother would not sacrifice for her child. And instilling that his love was greater than a mother's love for its child, he was indicating there was nothing that he would not give up nor sacrifice for them. Christ's love for his people is not just a sheltering love. It's a sacrificial love. There is nothing he will not give up for them. Indeed, the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 43 in the verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." For his people, the Lord had not only drowned the armies of Egypt in the waters of the Red Sea, but in order to give them respite in the siege of Jerusalem, he caused Sennacherib to turn aside and to destroy the men of Ethiopia in Seba. He sacrificed them for his people. In fact, the Lord, loving you and loving me, he went to the cross. He gave his life. He gave it for you and he gave it for me. And none are more precious to the Lord and his people. For them, no sacrifice is too great. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Does God give up Egypt for us? And shall we not give up the riches of Egypt for him?" Of course, Egypt in the scripture speaks of the world. And surely, if the Lord gave up everything for us, and is willing to sacrifice nations even for our well-being, surely we should be willing to give up Egypt, willing to give up this world, to sacrifice everything even for him. Oh, we're precious to him tonight. For us, he willingly would sacrifice anything. I think also it's a providing love. Look at verse 15. "Can a woman forget her sucking child? Yet will I not forget thee." The reference is plain as to a sucking child. Rather than forgetting her child, the mother draws him or her to her bosom. And as well as sharing her love, she provides for his or her every need. She feeds him. She washes him. She dresses him. All that he or she needs, she provides. And loving them more than a mother loves her child, surely he was indicating that they would never want. You see, Christ not only saves his people, he satisfies his people. He meets their every need. Indeed, the Lord stopping Abraham, offering up Isaac as a sacrifice there on Mount Moriah, he told him, lift your eyes. And turning around and seeing a ram, he saw it there caught in the thorns. And taking it and offering it up as a sacrifice, we read in Genesis 22:14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Of course, the name Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Not has, but the Lord will provide. Christ is only a powerful redeemer. He's a providing redeemer. As a mother caters for her child, so the Lord meets the needs of his children. David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians. On one occasion, in one of his trips, he was caught in a great and terrible storm. And the storm blowing with a great ferocity, he saw a tree and the bottom or the inside of the tree had been hollowed out. And he went and he crawled into the center of the great tree. The wind howled and the rain battered down all day. With the passing of the day, he became hungry. And then he spotted a little squirrel. And the squirrel came into where he was and left a few nuts. David Brainerd feasted upon them. Such was the storm that David Brainerd couldn't leave the tree for 3 full days. Every day the little squirrel came. Every day the little squirrel left some nuts for him. The Lord is a mother, or more than a mother to us. He will provide. If you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. If you ask for an egg, he will not give you a scorpion. He will not give you anything that will hurt you. But he will provide. He will give to us that which is good. What a God that we serve this evening. We don't need to fear for the future. We know that he will. He will provide. But lastly, I want you to notice there's a permanent love. He said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You notice here that their names were not merely written, but they were graven upon the palms of his hands. The word graven here is elsewhere translated to cut out or to inscribe. And being cut into his flesh, washing or time cannot erase them. Again, you think here of the image of a little child. The child is playing in the field and suddenly he trips and he falls into the mud. Or misbehaving, he does something wrong. And while the mother seeing the child covered in mud or covered in blood, she may be annoyed, she may be angry, but she loves that child no less. She loves the child no less. And the love of Christ for his church is not only unsearchable, but it's unchanging. It never ends. Indeed, reminding the children of Israel the breadth, the depths, the heights of his love. The prophet said in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. One commentator tells us that the word everlasting here has 3 ideas within it. Firstly, it indicates that it never had a beginning. In other words, there was never a time that he didn't love them. He secondly said, it carries the idea that it is without cessation. What he meant was that it doesn't stop and start and then start and stop. And third, he said, it carries the idea that it'll never come to an end. Not only did the Lord, in a sense, never start loving us, but he will never end loving us. It is everlasting. It's everlasting. I remember too many years ago, when I went camping as a teenager to Mount Errigal. We were a little bit behind, and so those that got first, they got the pick of places to put up their tent. They got a lovely level spot, and it was lovely in green. We got old rocks on a slope, difficult getting the tent up. But we all went to bed. It was ice cold, and the sky began to darken. And in the middle of the night, the rain started. And Maya poured. And those that got the lovely spot suddenly realized that they were put their tent up in a bed of an old river. And soon the water was flowing in one side, and it was flowing out the other side. Unlike that river, my, the river of divine love never stops. It never ceases to flow. Maybe you've fallen. Maybe along the way you've become defiled. The devil whispers in your ear, how could God ever love you? My friend, God may and will be displeased with your feelings. But he does never cease to love you. He who loved you yesterday loves you today. And he will love you forever. And he will love you for all of eternity. Oh, what a picture. A mother in extreme circumstances, she may forget her child. She may sacrifice her child, as some have done. She may cease to love her child. But God will never, never in any circumstances cease to love us. I don't know about you, but that thrills my soul. Oh, when we stumble and we fall and the devil magnifies it, my, we feel we're unlovable. But my friend, the Lord will never forget us. He will never cease to love us. Oh, may we see this evening, may we take time to gaze upon the palms of his hand and to see our names there engraved, not written, engraved, carved in so that they can't be diminished, and they can't fade away. What a thought. Oh, believer, we're so special. We're loved, loved with an everlasting love. Surely that should stir our hearts. That should drive us on to love and to serve and to labor even for him. May God reveal his love